Guys, it's finally happening. Sports are back. 2020, I knew you had it in you. Sure, games will look different, but one thing remains the same. Hooters for your game day grub. That's right, no waiting in lines for cold hot dogs or warm beer. This season, watch the action from your couch with Hooters nearly world-famous wings or not-so-famous but still delicious salads and sandwiches. And don't forget the fries. Come on, give your crew the food they want. Visit order.hooters.com for pickup or delivery. Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983.
This is the Top Right Fantasy Football Podcast. We are into season five. I believe this is episode 10 already. I thank Hooters for their presenting sponsorship of season two, three, four, and five. As you already heard in the advertisement, Hooters is encouraging takeout this year for your fantasy football draft purposes rather than hosting fantasy draft parties that this podcast has hosted each of the last 3 years. It was a Hooters decision. I respect it. I will follow it. And I look forward to being able to bring fantasy players back into Hooters restaurants as a group, at which time Hooters feels like it's a good idea. And hopefully that'll be sometime later this season. Email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Some fantasy football emails are starting to trickle in. I will say this Sunday will be the draft date for my foundation league. A little earlier than I had hoped for my personal. This is my non-podcast league. If you hear me refer to the foundation, it's owners. Some listen to the podcast, some don't. Some play in my golf tournament, some don't. It's your closer friends. And actually, a couple did play in podcast leagues last year and are now in the Foundation League. The Foundation has its own trophy, has its own traditions, has the Ass Man plate for last place. And I thank Jared Atkinson, our 2019 champion, for hosting us at West Chase Golf Club for the Foundation League this year. And John Baxter Cox, another one of our Foundation owners, for catering the event, as John runs one of the many PDQs in the greater Tampa Bay area. So the next podcast I give you will actually be based on observations from the Foundation Fantasy Draft. And the Foundation goes from 10 teams to 12 teams this year with all of the scoring settings that I talk about here on the podcast because I am the commissioner. And even one I haven't told my owners about yet, and I haven't told you about yet. So we'll get to that also in a future podcast. But maybe you have a fantasy draft this weekend, like me. Since we're 2 weeks away, I'm recording this on Thursday night, exactly 2 weeks before the NFL regular season opener between the Texans and the Chiefs in Kansas City. I'm a huge fan of the website Fantasy Football Calculator, especially, as Gil Alexander of VSiN would say, pre-flop, which means before the season starts. And Fantasy Football Calculator takes data from thousands of mock drafts and fantasy drafts and puts out all the information from those mock drafts, those fantasy drafts, and it's all current. It's a sliding scale based on current news, current drafting. And again, it's thousands of drafts. So I took a look at it just an hour or so ago and thought I would do this podcast based on some of the things that I see on Fantasy Football Calculator. And you can put in your own sort of settings there. If you want to do point for nothing, as I call it, PPR, you click on that. If you want to do half point, four per nothing, or as I call the compromise, you can do that. Of course, I play what I call modernized standard scoring, but there is no point for nothing. There is no point per reception. We are a yardage-based league, and you get additional points, or you get your points other than touchdowns based on actually moving the football down the field, not just because you can catch a ball. That would be the equivalent of me to giving a running back a point for actually being handed the ball. or a quarterback a point for completing a pass. We don't do that. And I've talked about that in a previous podcast. So moving on. I know you've heard all that. I hope some of you have actually applied it or consider it. Based on Fantasy Football Calculator, roughly 12-team league, no PPR, the names that stood out to me as the better values of each round. And I'll give you one name, and then I'll give you a second name. So think of each round with 12 players, and it was sort of a big picture. Look, I did the previous podcast on McCaffrey. Of course, he's the guy in round one. But I wanted to look deeper into that, and I was spurred on by a nice email. Was it Al or AJ? I think it was Al, who wrote me and kind of said, enjoyed the podcast about McCaffrey. Thank you for saying that, Al. Who's the McCaffrey of this year? As in, who's the guy who, as we move along this season, it's like, why did I pass on him earlier in the first round? And then next year, we're doing a podcast on that player, maybe in addition to Christian McCaffrey. My answer to that is two guys. And again, based on Fantasy Football Calculator, 12-team league, draft data of the last 2 weeks, no PPR. Derrick Henry stands out. I really don't see why anything should change with Derrick Henry carrying the load, a heavy load, a productive load, and being such an impact offensive player for the Tennessee Titans. Why would anything change? Because nothing else has on that team. I think they lost one offensive lineman, may have opted out. I'm still catching up on all of these things. But remember, I was the guy who told you until last year, Derrick Henry was the most underused offensive resource in the National Football League. And it made no sense why the Titans weren't doing exactly what they did last year. They finally did it. Look how far they got. They got all the way to the AFC Championship game and actually led the AFC Championship game in the first half. And to lose a double-digit lead to Patrick Mahomes last year, I don't know if you saw this stat where I saw it. I think I saw it on a bottom line on NFL Network. Last year, teams that were down 10 points or more won about 12% of their games. Except Patrick Mahomes, he was 5-0. Yeah. Or he won five of them. So Derrick Henry to me is the value in round one. And then Nick Chubb. I've never owned Nick Chubb. I wish I had, and maybe this year I will. We take a more critical look at the Cleveland Browns this year. I told you a year ago Freddie Kitchens would either be the first coach fired or would be exposed very quickly for being in over his head as a head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Even on a bad offense where Beckham wasn't scoring touchdowns and it was hard to determine the Landry games and Baker Mayfield was a fantasy bust, Chubb still got it done. Why should I think that will change? For the Cleveland Browns. So those are the two guys, 1 and 1A in the first round for me based on value. Second round looks like wide receiver value. DeAndre Hopkins in the second round. It's always dangerous when a player changes teams. It's sort of in that category of don't get too excited about a rookie, especially now because you haven't even seen him do anything against anybody. Even in a preseason game, and you're investing a high draft pick in them or expecting them to be a starter, often it comes back to bite you. Hopkins is changing teams, and he goes from a talented quarterback in Deshaun Watson to a second-year quarterback in Kyler Murray. And Murray put up points last year. But now what does he do for an encore in year two? And they brought in Hopkins to make him better. They still have Larry Fitzgerald. Christian Kirk had the one big game last year that we gave you a heads up on The three touchdown game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, based on how the numbers just said, as I call it, touchdown aggression or progression, he was due for that. And now you add DeAndre Hopkins. So I would take DeAndre Hopkins in the second round. He's not the only wide receiver I'd take in the second round, but I think you're going to get good value there. And I don't expect that there's going to be a significant drop off in DeAndre Hopkins producing fantasy points. The other wide receiver, and I was big on him last year, and then he suffered a turf toe. And turf toe is, it's bad. I mean, it's annoying. It's one of those things that just lingers, and it's tough to come back from. But again, I'd have no problem owning Devontae Adams. He looks like he's a second-round wide receiver this year based on recent data. You know, Aaron Rodgers might just want to tell Matt LaFleur and Packer brass, yeah, I'll show you about that philosophy of drafting Jordan Love this year, and still his main guy is Devontae Adams. So even though there's an injury history from last year, it's not like turf toe tends to linger season to season. It would have to be a new injury of the same kind. Third round, a couple wide receivers here also. I like Adam Thielen. I always have. Now, last year, he was a disappointment because he didn't play. And you hope that he doesn't have some of the same problems. But let me explain to you very quickly why I'm high on Adam Thielen. Kirk Cousins is still going to throw the ball around. And now that Stephon Diggs is gone, Thielen actually goes back to his original role 2 years ago of being out wide and going down the field. At one point, I think it was late in the 2018 season, or it was training camp 2019, the Vikings said, all right, we're gonna switch this, because I guess they felt they weren't getting enough out of Diggs in his role, so they gave Thielen Diggs' role, and they split Diggs out wide. Well, Diggs is gone now, and I would expect Thielen goes back to that role and will see more targets, and Thielen most often turns targets into touches, and much as I said about the Moneyball movie and how it relates to fantasy football, just picture Brad Pitt pointing to Jonah Hill. He touches the ball. That's what you want in fantasy football, and Thielen should touch the ball. Cooper Kupp looks like a third rounder based on fantasy football calculator data. I know there are a lot of questions about the Rams as they did not do much for an encore last year after reaching the Super Bowl and then not scoring a touchdown in the Super Bowl. And there are many questions going forward about the future of Jared Goff. But he's Cooper Kupp, for crying out loud. Thielen and Kupp, to me, both had injuries last year. But as long as they're on the field, they are so reliable. You know, to quote Matthew Berry, you set it, you forget it, and they're going to produce for you. And I'm optimistic that what kept them out a year ago is nothing symptomatic, or you can have an expectation for this year. Fourth round, and here are two more wide receivers, again, just showing the running back value is early. If you don't get your running backs early, good luck. Your RB2, we've talked about this in previous years. If you don't get running backs early, you're guessing. You're really taking a chance on that second running back, or you got to hit on it when you draft it in a later round. Tough to do. Juju Smith-Schuster with Ben Roethlisberger. I know he said even earlier on Thursday, being hit's going to be the big deal. Juju Smith-Schuster went as high as in my foundation league last year. He went 12th. Yeah, he went 12th overall. He was a huge disappointment, but of course he was. He didn't have a legitimate quarterback to throw him the football, and he probably wasn't ready to overcome that and step into that number one role so early in his career. I still believe in Juju Smith-Schuster, and I still believe in Ben Roethlisberger. The other player, and there were other choices, is DK Metcalf. And, you know, we're what, a year or two now without Doug Baldwin? But boy, as the season went on last year, you could just see the athletic ability, the unique nature, the physical stature of DK Metcalf and what the Seahawks have in him. And I just think as time goes on, Russell Wilson knows what he's what he has in DK Metcalf. And I think that's going to be a valuable guy with a great quarterback. Speaking of Russell Wilson, let's get to some quarterbacks. If you lay off in this particular batch of data that I looked at from the last couple weeks of, 4,000 mock drafts or actual drafts, Mahomes late round one, Lamar Jackson middle to late round two. If you can pass on those guys, knowing what they have produced, you're going to have your choice of some wonderful quarterbacks round five, round six, round seven, round eight, and I'm about to mention some of the names. But it just depends. I mean, if you want Mahomes or you want Jackson, you're going to have to take them probably in the first 20 picks. And that means you don't have that RB1 or RB2 or maybe not even a wide receiver one. Russell Wilson was the value in round five when I looked at the recent data from fantasyfootballcalculator.com. I loved how late in 2018 there were all these complaints from Russell Wilson owners. I don't understand what the complaints were. And Wilson was terrific last year. And I think there's value there in the fifth round, as I think there is on Dak Prescott. Here we go with Dak Prescott again in another contract year. With Mike McCarthy now as his head coach, he still has Kellen Moore as the voice in his ear. He still has Ezekiel Elliott. He still has Amari Cooper. And now he has CeeDee Lamb drafted in the first round. Dallas's offense was awesome last year. Not the reason they did not make the playoffs, not a bit. And it put up a lot of yards, and no reason to expect Dak won't do that again. And Dak gives you a little bit with the legs as well. Wilson probably gives you a little bit more. Sixth round, and this was tough. I really, really wanted to, and I'll at least mention DeVante Parker here. Because DeVante Parker, since being drafted out of Louisville by the Dolphins, has been a ghost. And sadly, I've always been a Gostis Bear fan for the Flyers, and now the ghost is a ghost. And gets unfit to play. Or healthy scratch. I can't put Parker here because I got to see it again. What he did at the end of last year, and I picked him up on waivers, was phenomenal. But was it just to get paid? Was that it? On a lousy team that actually showed some life late, what does it mean for this year? I can't buy in yet. So based on the data of the sixth round and who was there, Cortland Sutton stands out more now that he's had more time with Drew Locke and that the Broncos have drafted another receiver to keep double teams away from him and create better matchups for him. Melvin Gordon's out of the backfield, could have some defenses cheating up on Melvin Gordon. That gets Sutton loose down the field, maybe behind somebody. Sutton has terrific ability when the ball is in the air. He'll make catches, you know, like Michael Thomas coming out of Ohio State, and he sort of made a 50-50 grab, more like 60-40 or 70-30. Sutton's kind of like that. He's not as good as Michael Thomas, but he'll get his share of the 50-50 balls. And the other one that stood out in the sixth round, and here's my first rookie, is Cam Akers. Now, he's not the first running back that's coming off the draft boards in these fantasy leagues. That's the rookie out of LSU with the Chiefs. That's the most attractive rookie. But the Rams have moved on from Gurley, and they, despite having other options behind Gurley last year, none look good. They are invested in Cam Akers. And I think it was Kirk Herbstreit who said on one of the draft telecasts when Cam Akers was drafted, he said, I like Cam Akers. He said he had horrible coaching, terrible quarterback play, and questionable offensive line. Other than that, he had all the support he needed. Akers, to me, with McVay, is in a great spot. I'm not expecting Gurley numbers, but I'd love to own him if I can get him in like the sixth round or later. Seventh round, here's the fuck you with Aaron Rodgers. And I know you get jaded one year and you don't go back with a particular player. And Aaron Rodgers was the player that last year let so many people down. This year, man, just the way that guy is wired, and with the Jordan Love pick, that's why I'd love to own Devontae Adams again this year, and I wouldn't be opposed to taking Aaron Rodgers as my starting quarterback if I can get him in round seven or later. The other guy I noticed in this data who was in the seventh round was Deebo Samuel. That, to me, would be a nice wide receiver two or wide receiver three. Kyle Shanahan and the Niners use him in a lot of different ways. They're very creative with him. He's very athletic. He's going to get you rushing yards in addition to breaking tackles in the passing game and getting big plays. So I think Deebo touches the ball, and that's why I'd like to own him. And he looked like good value in the seventh round of this sort of sample size. We'll do two more. Eighth round, Marvin Jones. Yeah, I'm in. I mean, at times last year, Marvin Jones was a very, very valuable guy, and he would get in the end zone. Now Matt Stafford's coming back. He's one of the top candidates for comeback player of the year with Ben Roethlisberger. No reason to believe Jones won't be productive with a healthy Matt Stafford. And then also eighth round, if you wait that long to get a quarterback, you could get Matt Ryan in the eighth round. And I think Matt Ryan's numbers overall, you know, for a number of years there, I would talk about, you know, how you could wait and get Ben Roethlisberger or get Phillip Rivers. This year, it feels like you can wait and get Matt Ryan. And the last handful of years, he's been one of the top five fantasy quarterbacks. Is he going to get you rushing yards and rushing touchdowns? No, he's not. But will he put up enough yardage via the air and passing touchdowns? Yeah, I think he will. Last one, ninth round, there's Matt Stafford. To me, I'm certainly not looking at the Lions as a great team. Stafford's got to throw a lot. I know they drafted, DeAndre Swift? I believe it when I see it. Last legitimate running back I've seen in Detroit was Barry Sanders. That was a while ago. So I still think Stafford's throwing a lot, coming from behind a lot, playing a lot of close games, trying to convert third downs. He's got Galladay to throw to. He's got Marvin Jones to throw to. And then I can't read my handwriting on the second name. I'm very sorry. I don't know what I did there. I really don't know what I did there. I don't even want to say what I think the name is. I'm being totally honest and self-deprecating with you guys. All right, we'll leave it at that. Remember, the email is Todd Wright. Who is this? Who did I write down there? I'm trying to come up with it. Nope. I got nothing. I'll get it by the next podcast. I'm sorry. Todd Wright, fantasyfootball@gmail.com. My thanks to Hooters for their continuing presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you next time after my foundation draft this Sunday.